Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm not one to put labels on a person, but I guess if the cover of Jason Stewart's latest DVD can describe him as America's top gay stand-up comic, then it's okay for me to repeat it. Jason Stewart is America's top gay stand-up comic. There, I said it. But that leads to a question. Does gay mean homosexual men only? If he's the nation's top gay stand-up comic, where does that leave lesbian comedians such as Ellen DeGeneres or Rosie O'Donnell, Carol Leifer, or Judy Gold? And Jason, if you're number one, who's number two? Think about that. Think about that on hold while I play this clip from your DVD, Making It to the Middle. This is the part where the clip plays. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jason Stewart. Yes, this show's going to be just a little different, isn't it? Well, I read in the paper the other day that only 1% of this country is gay, and if that's true, I've slept with everyone. And you know who you are. Oh, my God. Just call me Daddy. Because I have candy. This is the cutest boy. I just want you tied to a chair eating ice cream crying. Have you ever texted a guy?
No.
Oh, come on. It's just us. Never once? Never at camp? Never rolled over and went, oh, there he is. Who's here tonight? Who's here tonight? Gay people? Gay people, yes? Oh my God, we're taking over. How about the lesbians? Are the lesbians here?
Yeah.
Sir, you're not a lesbian.
You can order Jason's DVD and find out when he'll be in your town by checking his website, www.jasonstewart.com. Jason, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so excited. I don't know whether to kill myself or go bowling.
I'd go bowling. You probably have a gig this week.
Oh, thank you. You're right. I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory Saturday night in Long Beach.
Oh, my God. It's like he's spoken like three sentences, and the third sentence is a plug. I can see what.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought
that
was a mess.
No. That's fine. But I got to ask you, how does this whole gay lesbian labeling thing work? I want to get it right now.
Well, it's we do the same thing that any comedian would do. I mean, when you're trying in this market, when there's a lot of people, you know, you can't tell someone's gay by looking at them at a picture. So basically, you want people who are open to seeing openly gay people, and then you want to dissuade people who are not interested in that.
Hmm.
You know, you
but
want
I mean,
them.
But in terms of, I mean, how do I, you know, this is an honest question. I'm not trying to be an idiot here, but okay, if you are America's number one gay.
Well,
guy,
that's a marketing thing, honey. You're trying to get me.
It's
just a marketing thing, you know. The company that did the DVD put that on, you know, because not, you know, in this world of 500 channels, everybody might not know who I am. So
right.
When you're looking at a video store, you're on Amazon.com or wherever you're shopping, you know, you want to get a sense of who. And I'm probably one of the top five guys in the country. There aren't that many of us.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm trying to understand. When we use the word gay, does that only refer to men, or does that refer to men and women? And if it refers to women, that's where I was getting confused.
I guess I hadn't really thought it through that much. You know, I hadn't thought it through. I would guess probably more men. You know, there's the women usually refer to themselves as lesbians, you know, these days. You know, it's just, you know, in this market of so many different people doing so many things, it's not like in the olden days, you know, where you would just be able to find somebody very easily. It's not that way anymore. People don't go to record stores. There are no more record stores. So everything has to be done, you know, like all the kids know that you have to tag everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for people to find you. And I hope you're found.
I was just well, okay. I was gonna ask you, where do you like to be tagged? But okay, you want to be found.
I want to be found, I want to be tagged, I want to be licked, I want to be tasted.
So all right, so
you're a straight guy, I'm assuming, right?
I'm straight,
yeah.
And I'm trying to be straight man for your being here as well.
Well, thank you so much.
So if you are, let's just accept that you are the top gay comic in the country.
Well, I'm one of them.
I mean, are there, you said there may be five. I can't think of a second. Who else?
Are you serious? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really
are
don't
you
know.
You, well, there's Alec Mappa, there's Ant, there's who is it? There's Scott Kennedy, there's Andre Kelly, there's Bruce Valanche. There's a number of us.
Okay, Ant and Valanche I've heard of, so I'll go with you're the top guy.
Well,
what? So okay, and you know this is weird. Like if I knew that you were gay. But it wasn't like part of your act. It wouldn't be something I would be talking to you about. That's just not something I'd.
Well, it's the same thing. Roseanne talked about being a housewife. Chris Rock talks about being black.
Right.
Wanda Sykes talks about being black quite a bit. You know, basically, you as a comedian, you just speak from your own experience. And comedy is, you know, I always think just trying to is complaining in a funny way. You know, if you're a white guy, you know, usually there isn't as much to complain about. Because you've had an easier time in life in terms of people accepting who you are. You have other things to complain about, probably about us, you know, getting into your stuff.
I don't know. White guys always seem to have plenty to complain about. That doesn't seem to be an issue. It just may not be that particular topic.
No, it's just, yeah, it's whatever your experience is. I'm also Jewish, and I talk about that a lot in my act.
Well, I'm going to come to that in a couple minutes. I want to, and I've got a clip from your...
Oh, cool.
DVD I want to play about that. But what makes a topic ripe for dissection and discussion by a gay comic, particularly by a gay comic?
You mean how do I choose my material?
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to ask it, sure.
I don't think about it. You know, if I think something's funny, I talk about it. That's the way I do it.
Okay.
The only reason I came out as an openly gay person was because I was afraid to. Because I was afraid I would lose jobs. And I did lose jobs, but I also gained a lot of jobs. And I still lose jobs because I'm gay all the time.
What was the timeline with you in terms – were you already a comedian when you came out, or which came first?
Oh, yeah. I was an actor first, and then I was a comedian for around 10 years at Closeted, and then I came out in 93.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, how did you know, how did your situation present before you came out as a comic? I mean,
I would lie to be accepted.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was frightening. It was because you're always afraid that you were going to get, you know, fired or someone was going to, you know, tap you on the shoulder, you know, and say this is we're done or that kind of thing.
Well, how extreme was the pressure at that time for you, you know, to keep working and you know, be closeted?
Oh, tons of people told me not to. I mean, they said, you know, because no one had done it. Very few people had done it. I mean, it just wasn't happening. I mean, in the early 90s, you had Leah Delaria, you had the Funny Gay Males, Bob Smith and his boys. You had a couple people, but it just wasn't something that was done. I mean, also to me, it never even occurred to me to do it because I was always taught to lie about being gay, that it was wrong and it was bad and I shouldn't say anything.
So to what extremes did you go to keep it a secret as you're in the club?
Well, I used to have a fake girlfriend in my act. I said, I'm dating this punk rock girlfriend. I put my hand out, help her out of the car. She put her cigarette out in it.
That's good. I like that.
You know, and then I said, girls don't find me sexually stimulating. I don't know why, you know, stuff like that. So I would tease about it.
Right.
You know.
But now it's the end of the day. It's the end of the night, you know, and nights for comics can end 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Are there girls waiting for you? Are there guys waiting for you?
I mean, now it's all through the internet. Now people will contact you. I get probably 50 different things a day through Facebook, my website, MySpace, all that kind of stuff. It's a bit overwhelming at times.
But I mean, before you came out, you know, whether
a lot of married guys.
Oh, okay. But they knew. They just knew.
I think so. A lot of married guys would come over to me before I came out. And now people who are closeted like that keep a distance from me.
Okay.
Because they don't want to be associated. So I don't have that problem.
Tell me about coming out in terms of dealing with the club owners, the managers, the whole industry. Were there people who had been your friends, who had been good contacts, who cut you off at that time, or?
Well, there's not the same respect for openly gay people in terms of our celebrity in the mainstream as there is. It still isn't that way. They still treat us like we're, what's the word? A dalliance, a specialty act. They don't think of us as mainstream. There's still that.
It's still like that, really?
By some, yeah.
Huh.
Now we have our own channel, so we can get paid less. Isn't this great?
Well, listen, women have been getting 60 to 65% of what men get paid for years, so, you know, it's just a new subcategory for getting paid less than a white guy. Straight white guy.
Definitely.
What is, in terms of material, what is not funny for a gay comic? What kind of stuff?
Well,
like, if you're in the audience.
Everybody's different. You know, the other day I made a joke and I said, this is the retarded section. And I was doing that in the show in a college. And this woman sent this long letter and was very upset about it. So you never know.
Mm. Are you?
And I did something on Wisecrack, a TV show, you know, a Wisecrack, and I talked about bisexuals. I said, you know, is there any bisexuals in the audience? And they said, yes. I said, if you're over 30, pick a teen because you're annoying everyone.
How'd that go over?
It went over great, but I lost a job because I made that one joke.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, someone actually did not want to hire me because of that at a college.
Who would? Yeah, I don't know.
I know, it sounds crazy, but this happens all the time. You know, you're totally being scrutinized. You just have to keep yourself in order because it could make you just insane.
So what do you do?
And I came insane, so.
Well, do you self-censor yourself in situations or you just let it rip? And
at times, I know, when I go to a college situation because I get paid a lot of money, I will ask and say, what do you want? And what do you not want me to say? And what are the, you know, where are the parameters? When I'm hosting an HERC dinner or an award show of sorts, you know, you're wearing a suit. There's a different thing to do. Some people don't do that. I do that. I change depending on the situation that I'm in. It doesn't bother me at all.
But if you're in a regular
comedy club, anything goes.
Funny Bone or Laugh Factory or.
Yeah.
Stress Factory, whatever they're called. You're going to do your act. You're going to do it the way you want to.
Oh, definitely. And the Laugh Factory I've been working at, it's my home club. It's the second place I ever did comedy. I've been working there since 1983 in Hollywood, if I went in Hollywood. Isn't that weird?
It's a long time. It's, you know, and I'm
almost dead. I am actually close to death. That's it.
I'm sorry. We'll miss you. Tell me where to send the card.
Right. Well, just tell them to buy my DVD.
All right. Buy the man's DVD. I'll plug it right here and now. Go to jasonstewart.com. JASONSTUART.com.
Yeah. The other right. ST, the EW guy is the fat guy.
Okay, I've never been there by accident, but now I'm sure you're sending people to his site to go see him.
I don't know if he has a site, but there's another guy who's EW, and it's so funny. He's a comedian out of I think it's Portland or Washington or somewhere in that area, and what's just so funny about that is I sent him an email through Facebook, and I said, you know, I don't care that we have the same name, but do you really want to be known as the gay guy? I mean, do you really want that? I mean, I'm pretty well known in the club circuit, so why would you want to be known as the gay guy if you didn't have to? And he said he was going to change his name to J.S. Stewart or something, or J.W. Stewart or whatever his initials were, but he never did it, as far as I know.
Ever get confused with John Stewart?
Occasionally somebody will say that to me, yeah, or Jimmy Stewart, and I say, he's dead. I'm not a dead person. I'm alive, and I'm kicking.
Is that the only difference between you and Jimmy Stewart, is that he's dead?
Yes, and he's also, you know, like 150 years older than me.
Okay, well, I figured there was probably...
And he has an Academy Award, and I don't!
Now, you said before that you had been acting for 10 years, I think, before you...
I've been acting a long time, yeah.
Why make the switch?
I haven't made the switch.
Well, I mean, I know that you're acting. I was going to ask you about that later, but you, the way you described it before, you had been acting, and then after 10 years of acting, you decided...
Oh, well, I always thought that I wasn't attractive enough to just be a comedian. I'd just be an actor.
Hmm.
I always thought that I wasn't, you know, and I had to figure out to do something. It was either that or musical theater. I had a manager at the time who had said, you must do this. You know, this was, you know, very, very, in the 80s, this was, you know, it. Comedy was really happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of came in at the tail end of that, I guess, big boom.
And what kind of roles were you getting before you went to comedy full-time?
I wasn't getting anything. I would.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good reason to make a switch.
Oh, yeah. Maybe one job a year, lucky enough to scrape up somewhere. I didn't really start to work until the mid-90s, and then I started to really work. And that was because when Ellen came out, everything changed. The playing field became somewhat more, I wouldn't say even, but more open.
Hmm.
But there's still people that think I can't. The people that think that I can't even be serious because I'm a comedian. You wouldn't believe what people say. I hear from my manager all the time. People just assume that you're really limited always.
Hmm. Well, now you
so
did.
It's always a challenge to sort of figure out, you know, how to get them to see. And if you go to my website, you can see all sorts of different clips with different things. Everything from heavy drama to outrageous celebrity panelist comedy to stand-up to comedy films to sitcoms to dramatic shows, you know, all different styles of stuff. You know, I'm a character actor. That's who I am.
Well, I was going to ask you, when casting directors call you, what are they looking for?
They don't call me, you know, necessarily if they were looking for you. Your manager will submit you for a certain role that they put out. And then they will respond to that, hopefully. And that happens a lot, so I'm lucky.
Well, now you played in My Wife and Kids. You played an openly gay doctor.
I played a family therapist. And apparently what I heard from the producers, there was a story going around. They had written this part, and all the writers were sitting around the room, and they said, who do you think we should get for this? And everybody in the room said Jason Stewart.
Hmm.
So that was probably one of the biggest compliments and one of the, you know, high points of my career. And it was only one episode. And
mm-hmm.
then the role recurred, and I did a whole season of shows for them, playing the shrink. I recurred several times.
Now, I think you did an episode of House. What did you play in that?
Oh, yeah, I played a patient who was sort of a hypochondriac. And that happened really funny. I knew Brian Singer, who's the creator of the show. And
mm-hmm.
I was at the Outfest, and he was sitting behind me. And I said, oh, hi, Brian, because Brian had come to my house once for a party. Every couple of years I'll have a really big, big birthday party at my house. And usually everybody's invited. And he sort of crashed the party with a producer friend of mine, Tom DeSanto, who is a producer of X-Men. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great, fun party. And I became friendly, and I went down to the set a couple times when they were doing other films. And when he was sitting behind me, I said, "Hey, Brian, how you doing? What are you doing here?" We were seeing a documentary on Hitler. I'm not kidding. I think their title was "Is Hitler Gay? Who Knew?" Something like that. It was at the Gay and Lesbian Festival. So we were both laughing and found it very amusing. And I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm doing this show called House." I said, "Well, if there's anything for me, let me know." So the next day he called. And I went in and read, and then I got it.
Which season was that in? How long
ago? God, I don't remember, honestly. It's on my website if people want to see a short clip from it, but I don't really know what season. I don't remember. I can remember other people's credits more than I can remember my own.
Well, it's just you say you played a hypochondriac on House. That could be any episode. You know, so I'm just looking to pin it down.
But I got to work with you, Laurie, so that was sort of neat.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, what was that like? Obviously,
it was very exciting. It was very exciting. And there was this one point where they're talking about me in the room, and I said to Brian, "Don't you think I would say something?" And then he said, "Yeah, go ahead." So, but then he had to remove a wall in order for them to pull the camera around to give me a close-up. And I thought, oh, God, they're going to hate me. Thank God they think it's him doing it and not me. I was so afraid. I didn't want to, you know, because if you remove a wall, it takes a lot of time.
Right.
You know.
And did you survive the show or did you die on the show?
No, I just had one scene. I just played a hypochondriac. So I was just there to sort of help the story along.
Got it.
As they were having their little disagreements that they always seem to have.
So I don't know if you can answer this or not, but you know, we've all heard stories of the casting couch in Hollywood when it comes to young starlets.
Oh, I wish it was me. Please. Casting couch me. You know how many times I had sex with somebody and nothing happened from it? And then I wake up and I go, "God, why did I do that? God, a movie. I remember. That would be great. Are you kidding? I will have sex for a part. No problemo."
All right. Well, now we've got that on records. Maybe something will happen to you.
But I am looking for a husband. I want to get married.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to ask you about your social life. How are things going?
It's awful. I have just gone through my entire phone and deleted every guy that I had sex with or that it was dating. Because I'm no longer going to be involved with people that are not good people. That's it. They're gone. Gone. I delete.
Wow.
I'm looking for a good man. It's the year 2009. I want to get married. You know, come on, straight people. If you let us marry each other, we'll stop marrying you.
So you're not dating at the moment, but you're looking.
No, but I am looking.
And I wanted to ask you. So I mean, there are a number of states where you can marry now. There's a number of states where you can marry now. That does.
Yes, I can go to Iowa and get married with those three other people. Hello?
Hi, I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here. I don't know what's going on.
I have no idea. Let me just call you right back.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Something weird happened. Oh, are you there?
Yep.
I have no idea what that is. This has never happened. Well, everyone, this is technology. I'll call you right back.
Okay, Jason. Well, that was strange. Well, you know, happening live here. We'll wait a second and have Jason call back in. Tell you what, while we're waiting for Jason, why don't I play another clip? This is from Jason's DVD, Making It to the Middle.
And my parents are insane. How many people here come from crazy families? Crazy families? Oh, look at her. Woo! We're nuts! My family is 5 minutes from an O.J. trial. 10 minutes from the Menendez brothers, across the street from Robert Blake, and yes, I played with Michael Jackson. Well, my parents are divorced. I come from a broken home. How many people here have divorced parents? Divorced parents? Everyone. Look, it's a badge of honor. My parents are divorced. You know, my father met and married this really nice gal. She's 14. And they had a crazy wedding. They served ice cream and cake. We danced the hokey pokey. I turned myself around. Everyone was there. Miss Romperoom was there, and I was a good doobie. Mr. Rogers was there. He says, "Hi, Jason, how are you? Can you spell masturbate?" "No, but I'd like you to keep a distance."
Hello.
Hey, you're here, Jason. Welcome back.
Isn't that weird? I never heard that was like, it's like somebody was like listening in on our line.
I tell you what, almost every interview I've done this week, something bizarre has happened with the phones, and nothing can surprise me anymore.
I think it's fascinating, isn't it, though?
Well,
are we live?
We're live. We're
God! Well, everybody, isn't that fascinating? I mean, it really is. I mean, it's like somebody. It's like you can no longer talk on the phone, or text, or do it without somebody knowing what's going on.
Yeah. Well, so you know, I just played this clip where you talk a little bit about parents, and I was kind of wondering. I mean, are parents the first source of material for any good?
Oh,
comic?
Please! I think with a lot of my parents are completely insane. They are so funny and so characters. Both of my parents are big, big stars. They just don't have films. You know, my mother's an Academy Award winning actress. She just doesn't have a film.
And your parents are split, I think?
Oh, yeah. My parents got divorced when I was 17. My father's been with the same woman for 150 years. He calls me on the phone the other day, and he says, "I've gotten a new car." I said, "What kind?" He says, "A Mercedes." I said, "Dad, we're Jewish. You used to call that the Nazi car. How can you drive that?" He says, "I'm driving them so they can't." Crazy, huh?
You know, when people tell you something funny about their parents and you're not sure if you should laugh or not, that's pretty good. And my mother,
you know, she's had four husbands, five husbands. I don't even know their names. I just called them by numbers. It's like in a bakery. What about number three? How was that? You know. And she's 71. She's still flirting with people. You know, she's the same age as McCain. She can't find her keys. God, can you imagine McCain in the White House and he couldn't find the keys?
I can't imagine him in the White House, period. So we'll let it go with that.
Well, thank you.
When did you come out to your parents, or did they already know?
I was in my early 20s. And I told my mother, somehow I manipulated the conversation so she would ask me if I was gay. And then she said, "Well, have you ever had sex with a man?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she says, "What do you mean? What do I mean?" My mother, you know, there are no lines, there are no boundaries.
Apparently you crossed one there, though.
Oh, not with her. You know, she'll ask me anything, the most personal question, you know.
Really?
Oh, she doesn't care.
And what about
that? And what do you want to eat? You know, she's obsessed with food. Eating food, losing weight, being on a diet. I sent her a Mother's Day thing. I said, "Ma, happy Mother's Day. Stay on your diet. I love you, Jason." She laughed her head off.
And what about your father's response?
To me being gay?
Yeah.
Then why can't you just be gay and shut up about it? Bill and Jim live down the block. They don't talk about it. "Dad, I'm making a lot of money for doing a lot of gay events." "Keep talking. It's great." I'm very, very close to both my parents, and I'm very, very lucky. And I think for everyone out there, on a serious note, you know, when you get to a certain age, what's the most important thing with your family is forgiveness and acceptance. You accept people for the way they are, and you forgive them, and you realize their limitations, and you just move on.
Is life, and you started to mention this earlier, and I asked you to hold off a little bit, but, I mean, is life more complicated being gay and Jewish?
Well, I don't know. I've never been anything else. You tell me. You know what I mean? What's it like being straight and having all the rights? You know, what's it like being able to just do anything you want to do and having people not, you know, I don't know what that's like, to be able to go off to your dreams without someone telling you can't do this because you're this person. I've always been told that I'm wrong and I don't fit in and, you know, I'm special, like I'm retarded. You know, I always feel like I'm going to be put into a Special Olympics program or something. You know, that's the way it's always been with me. People have always looked at me and go, "Oh, well, this isn't your spot." You know, well, and I always thought when I was a kid I was going to be a really, really big star. And that's where the name of my stand-up comedy special was Making It to the Middle. And that's where I sort of got that. is because I thought I was going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread when I was a kid. It sort of saved my life because I was, you know, pretty much, you know, beat up and, you know, verbally abused. And so I was funny to combat all of that. So I thought that I was going to be a really, really big star, you know, and that didn't happen. So I made it to the middle. I make a living and people recognize me occasionally and someone buys a DVD or something and, you know, I get to pay my rent.
Well, folks, buy the DVD, jasonstewart.com. Go buy a DVD, keep Jason, you know, with shelter.
Yes, shelter, and also so I'd be able to take those boys out to dinner.
There you go.
You know,
yeah,
when you're
you
in show business, they just assume you're rich, and you're the one that has to pay all the time.
Help Jason with his dowry.
Yeah, I just want to meet a guy who has a car and doesn't live in it.
Hey, changing gears slightly, does your act change much with the day's headlines?
Oh, God, yeah. Not
yeah?
just the headlines, but with my life. As things change, you know, I'm different now. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. So Everything always changes.
What do you, you know, what are you talking about this week in your act that maybe you weren't a year or two ago?
Well, you know, the thing that you're getting older, you start to go to Target and Costco, and you see those people shopping. They're insane. I'm shopping. Move out of my way. I mean, they're like on a mission or something to get something at a discount price. It's like they, I don't know, like they squirt heroin through the air conditioner or something. And you walk in and you get crazy. You say, I need, you know, 400 rolls of toilet paper. You know, and then you buy it. What do you do with 400 rolls of toilet paper? You make a couch. And then you have to go next week to buy 200 more to make a chair to match because I'm so gay. You know, you go there, what do I need 200 placemats made out of bamboo. You know, I need a gazebo for my one-room apartment. It's just insane. Those stores, you wind up buying things you just don't need.
You can
never find anybody to help you. I don't know. Where the hell is everybody? Maybe it's because you're on heroin and you can't find them. I don't know.
That could be it. You know, I understand that, you know, if you inhale the stuff, it's tough.
Definitely. And I'm so obsessed with American Idol. I can't believe that I'm obsessed with this show. And just the year that I started to watch, of course, Adam Lambert, you know, is probably going to be the first openly gay guy to win, hopefully. And I thought it was so cool. But come on, the judges on that show, they're completely insane. Randy's a 50-year-old guy, dresses like a circus person. You know, yo, 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 dog. I just wish one of the contestants would go, what do you need, poodle? You know? You know, and Simon, what kind of a straight guy could be so angry? If he's not gay, neither am I. And then Paula's my favorite. Love Paula. And I just think all you kids are really going to be really, really big stars. And then she passes out.
Is there a... Who comes to see you in concert? Is it a gay
it's
audience?
Very eclectic. That's part of the problem. When you're a gay man, you don't have a strictly gay audience. Like last night, I was doing this show for Gay Pride in Long Beach at the Laugh Factory. They were doing a special show there at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. And somebody said something, and one joke didn't – somebody booed or you know made some little comment. And I always hear the one negative thing. I can always hear because I'm Jewish. And my father was in the Holocaust. So I'm always waiting for that to happen. They're going to get you and call you a dirty Jew, and that's going to be it. You know, so I hear this guy and I go, oh God, if I were Margaret Cho and Kathy Griffin, you'd be beaten off right here to it. And I can't believe I said that to a gay audience. You know, because these boys are like in love with, you know, women and drag queens.
Yeah.
So that's their thing much more than they are me. So you're always sort of combating that in terms of trying to, you know, find your audience. Where the lesbians, now they come to see each other in droves, but they won't go to see each other in the movies. But in the movies or TV, gay guys watch and see you all the time.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird? And I have a lot of straight fans. I have a lot of straight fans. I mean, if you would go to my MySpace or my, you know, my Facebook, you'd see that it's very eclectic. I think people, I'm sort of the underdog. I think it's people who feel different or feel disenfranchised probably dig me, you know.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell people, I mean, the DVD, I don't care if you're gay or straight, It's funny stuff. I mean,
did you really like it? Oh, how great.
Yeah, I did.
Because I know you wanted to hear it before you had me on the show, and I thought that was sort of cool, because a lot of times people don't really even listen to it, and they have no idea who you are.
I have a very simple philosophy in terms of booking the show. I want to be able to talk genuinely about something I've seen or heard or read.
You're in show business?
Well, I know. It seems odd. But also,
really strange.
I like to talk about things that I can have a genuine enthusiasm for. I don't want to tell people to go see your act or buy your DVD if I either didn't see it or didn't care for it.
I just try to do what I think is funny, and I just try to do that and try to, make my first job as a comedian is to make the crowd laugh. My second job is to be who I am. And my third job is to set up everything I think is funny so you guys get it. Because I think I'm really funny. But if I don't set it up properly, you won't get it.
Well, I think the DVD is very funny. I was going to ask you about, there's a guy in, I don't want to give too much away, any real details. But
the guy in the audience, the straight guy that I make fun of?
Yeah, now how often do you have someone who will play along with you like that? And how often does the guy look like he's going to get up and belt you?
Well, come on, that's not true. That guy was hot, and he was having a great time.
No,
he
I know. I'm saying.
Once in a green moon. I have a really great sixth sense for all of this now. I've been doing it, for 26 years. So I have a great sense of people. I can walk into a room even and just sense things, what's going on in a room. So it rarely ever happens. If somebody, recoils or, has a certain negative energy, I could move along to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got some good material out of that guy, there's no doubt. And he was a very good sport. That was the thing.
Oh, sport. He was into it.
Yeah, well, okay.
And his girlfriend, I mean, she almost pushed him on stage, You didn't see the whole show. That's only, portions. I couldn't show everything else. The show would be so long. The DVD would be, because it's an hour. But, I didn't want to, three hours of stuff. But, he was just quite insane.
Oh, it's good. It worked. Well, listen, I want to tell everybody that you can catch Jason Stewart in concert by checking for upcoming dates at his website, which we'll give again, www.jasonstewart.com, JASONSTUART.com. You can also order his new DVD, Making It to the Middle, on his site, or you can get it at mrmedia.com, our site. And,
great.
Yeah, and Jason, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to hearing from everybody.
Yeah, and much good luck, and we're gonna go out with one more clip from your show.
All right, take care, and thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
And as promised, we're going to go out listening to
look at
Jason.
All the cute girls here tonight. Barbie, Barbie, Barbie. There's Barbies everywhere. Look at you. You're so cute. I just want to press your tits and watch your hair come out. I had a Barbie, too, as a kid. Don't feel bad. Surprise, surprise. Oh, honey. Where are you from? Mattel. You're all very pretty. You've had easy lines, and tonight's your time to pay. See, I'm gay and Jewish, so I'm pissed. I'm on a Prozac, a lithium, and a Fenton. I could snap at any minute. Oh, look at her. She's such a little cute little Barbie. Just want to squish her little fucking head off. Anyway. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Well, I travel around a lot. I was recently in South Carolina, which sort of scared the shit out of them. I got off the plane. I was wearing my leopard coat, so this guy tried to shoot me. Then he tied me to the side of the car, which I really like.
Well, that was Jason Stewart, again, from his DVD, Making It to the Middle. For more great comedy interviews, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Lisa Lampanelli, Michelle Ballin, Robert Schimmel, Bob Alper, Ralphie May, The Whitest Kids You Know, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, Pointer Online, MySpace, Facebook, NetVibes, Multiply, Zanga, Digital Journal, Friendster, Orkut, Bebo, Tagged, iGoogle, Yahoo, Podcast Pickle, Vox, Folio, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, or Odeo. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. Subscribe to Mr. Media in iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews within the podcast section of iTunes and click the free subscribe button. It's that easy. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. It's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day to spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.